Thank you. There's two relevant papers, and one of them is a couple years old, and one of them is fresh. So even though they both have the 2004 date, this one some of you have heard about, and I'm going to talk about that first, but then there's some new material. So if you think you've heard this talk before, you may have heard part of this talk before, but you haven't heard the whole thing. So, so I'm going to review something which was also talked about in Chris Hughes' conjecture, which is the conjectures of Connery, Farmer, Keating, Rubinstein, and Snaith. So these initials are the same as these initials. So it's useful to choose a set of parameters, alpha, which are very small numbers, and to consider this quantity, which is a product of zeta functions, and to try to calculate a weighted average of that. And that if the function g is sufficiently smooth, that should match a function, the integral of this. And exactly what I mean by match, I'll be vague about. I want to show you something remarkable, and then I want to try to explain what it might mean. I'm going to assume that this overhead projector over here might work, at least for a while. So, this M is a sum over certain elements of the symmetric group. I guess they're inverses of riffle shuffles or something like that. So this has something to do with card shuffling. As some people will tell you everything.
Why are you looking at
it? Now, the quantity M is a sum of them, 2n choose n different things, each of which has a product of two parts. There's this arithmetic part which I will not discuss or define except briefly. The other part is important, and it's a product of n squared zeta functions. So the arithmetic part is an Euler product, and if n is greater than or equal to 3, then it doesn't even have meromorphic continuation to all alpha I. If n is equal to 2, it was the denominator in the slides of Chris Hughes, which you can remember there was a zeta function in the denominator there. But the important part is this n. So this parameter here is a product, is actually basically a sum over these permutations, and then of course there's some power of t which is relevant. So to summarize, this moment is conjecturally a sum of this many terms, each involving a product of n squared zeta functions. And the conjectures are proved if n is less than or equal to 2 by Ingham. There's more than that. The case of real interest is when the alpha I are equal to 0, because that bears on the Lindelof hypothesis. But as you saw also in the lecture of Chris Hughes, the structure of the asymptotics is made more transparent by taking the alpha I distinct. And if n is equal to 2, then the last two lectures are actually the not the last lecture, but the two earlier lectures discussed the formula of Motohashi, which gives an exact formula for the moments involving these cubes of L functions of automorphic forms at a half. Now, one of these slides, this slide, I would like to preserve because we will see something similar in a different context. So I'm going to discuss Eisenstein's series on GL2n. Chi is the factor that appears in the functional equation of the Riemann zeta function. And I'm going to tend to formulate things adelically in this lecture. That's not really very important. So B is the Borel subgroup of GLn. And if you have these parameters alpha, you can define a product like this. And this is a character that we're going to induce. And in the induced representation, there's an Eisenstein series, and I want to talk about its constant term. So So you make the Eisenstein series by summing over G mod B. There's a normalizing factor, which is the normalizing function, normalizing factor for the Eisenstein series. And there's the question of what the constant term of the Eisenstein series looks like. And I want to make the constant term along the middle parabolic subgroup. So the Levy factor looks, I mean the unipotent radical, looks like this. These are n by n blocks. It's a sum of exactly 2n choose n factors, and each of them involves not this function here, but this function times its gamma factors in the way I've formulated it so far. There's two things which match the moment conjecture. First of all, the L function of this Eisenstein series, if you use the functional equation of the zeta function, will match the. And I thought I said that in a slide. Maybe I did, and maybe I didn't. Yes. There are two things that match. So first of all, the L function matches this parameter. You have to use the functional equation in half of the variables in order to see that. And the constant term actually has the same structure as the conjectural moments. It's a sum of 2n choose n terms. They're indexed by inverse riffle shuffles. And they have a factor which is a product of n squared zeta functions. And these factors are the same in both formulas. So the challenge is to relate these two pictures which show the same structure. And the rest of this slide is somewhat speculative, but I want to tell you where I'm trying to go with this. When n equals 1, when you're talking about the second moment, we can understand why there's a connection between Eisenstein series and moments of the zeta function, and I'm going to explain that in future slides. I can imagine that there's a generalization which would include two ingredients. One is the Friedberg-Jacquet construction of the standard L function, which is based on Shalika models. I'll discuss Shalika models soon. And second of all, a generalization of the Voronoi summation formula. Now, I'm going to show you a generalization of the Voronoi summation formula, but unfortunately, I'm going to limit myself to degenerate Eisenstein series, which are not the Eisenstein series that I just showed you over there. But interesting enough that we're able to find something that I think is quite beautiful. Okay, so I'm now going to discuss the second moment of the Riemann zeta function. And I'm going to show you why there's a connection with the Eisenstein series. Although a part of the explanation will come later in the lecture. So tau is just an adjustment of the divisor function. So this is like a divisor function divided by a power of A. And let's start with this Eisenstein series. There's a typographical error here. This should be sigma. The S's in this formula should be sigma. In fact, the S's in this formula should also be sigma. But anyway, this is a classical Eisenstein series. Okay, actually, this Eisenstein series is all right. I have to have another slide before I can explain what I'm trying to tell you. Okay. This is the Voronoi summation formula. It's actually a slight generalization of it due to Oppenheim from the Journal of the London Math Society in 1927. Actually, this is not the way he wrote it, but I've done various things to make it look better. One is that I've included a smoothing factor, which is a function phi. I'm assuming that it has compact support in the positive real line. And this other function is a Hankel transform, which actually has a representation theoretic meaning that I will come to eventually. But the important thing to notice is that, first of all, that this involves these two factors, zeta of 2s and zeta of 2 minus 2s, which appear in the constant term of the Eisenstein series. I haven't written down the constant term of the Eisenstein series, but it's true. And they also appear in the moment conjectures. And finally, they appear in this formula up here. So using that, I'm going to explain how you can obtain the second moment of the zeta function. There's actually two papers by Atkinson which are relevant to this, and there's a connection with the so-called Dirichlet divisor problem that the second moment of the zeta function is actually like a sum of the tau function, where you truncate it at t over 2 pi. And what I'm going to explain in the next slide, using the method of the first paper of Atkinson, why there is this connection. This is something that I don't know how to do for GL2n, but never mind. And this slide contains a lot of oversimplifications, but roughly the idea is this, that if you want to calculate the moment of this, so you use the functional equation and you find that the tau function is a generating function. And because you've used the functional equation, a ratio of gamma functions appears. And using Stirling's formula, you know about how big that is. Now, this is oscillatory. And we want to know where the oscillations stop. The oscillations stop, that is, the derivative of this is equal to 0, when t is equal to 2 pi over n. Now, so if we just imagine that you substitute this series, which doesn't converge, but pretend that it does, and interchange the order of summation and integration, you'll have a series of terms that look like this. And where the main contribution to that is where the oscillations stop. Now, if n is large, that will be to the right of the domain of integration. So you can ignore those terms, and you're left with just the terms where n is less than t over 2 pi. And this part here you can estimate by the Oppenheim summation formula, and you get the second moment of the zeta function. Except for the fact that I haven't shown you why the Oppenheim summation formula has anything to do with Eisenstein series. That's the end of the discussion for n equals 2. I will come back to that connection, but I'll do it in a more general context. Okay, so now I'm going to explain what a Schleicher model is. So if I have a representation of GL2NF, where F is a local field, real or p-adic. The Shalika model is a linear functional on the space of the representation, which has this property that that if you translate that you by an element of this subgroup, which is called the Shalika subgroup, that this property is satisfied. So it's something like a Whitaker model. Psi is a non-trivial additive character. It was proved by Jacquet and Relis that pi will have a Shalika model, that if pi has a Shalika model, then it is unique. And if it has a Shalika model, it's unique, and so you can consider this space of functions. And these are something like, this is something like a Whitaker model. So we call this space of functions a Shalika model. And pi will have a Shalika model if and only if it has a functional of this type. And it's expected that this is true if and only if it is a functorial lift from SO2n plus 1. The global analog of this statement is proved due to a combination of work of Jacquet and Friedberg and of Ginsburg, Rallis, and Soudry. So the Shalika model is also the basis of the construction of the standard L function. This is one of the ingredients that I imagined could play a role in the discussion of the moments. Okay, now we'd like to discuss the Eisenstein series that I showed you before, but you have to learn to crawl before you can walk. So so there's a simpler Eisenstein series which is worth considering, and this was one of Moshe's suggestions. Moshe Baruch gave us some good ideas that went into this paper. So instead of inducing the function that I showed you before, I'm going to induce a function. I'm going to choose a representation, say it, and its contour gradient and tensor it with this. Now, the degenerate principle series is when the representation pi is taken to be the trivial representation. So the L function of the trivial representation is this product of zeta functions. And if the summation formula that I'm going to show you had an application to the moments, it would be to the second moment of this product of zeta functions. But only one of these zetas could be in the critical strip, so this is less interesting. And I also don't know how to do it. but still, I think it probably can be done. And we hope that this situation is a prototype of a more general theory. That this is just where we started. Okay. Now the Bessel functions. There are Bessel functions on GLN. There's classical literature of Hertz and Bengtson, but these are not their Bessel functions. I believe that the Bessel functions I'm going to show you now are new, and so. W0 will be this element of the Weyl group. Now, we'd like to know if you consider the space of functions of this type. So in other words, we're taking an element of the Shalika model and we're evaluating it a matrix of the form G001. So a function of this type is an element of what I'll call the Shalika-Kirilov model. We'd like to know how this element of the Weyl group behaves on it, and the answer is that it's convolution with something called J sub s, and we believe that J sub s is a locally integrable function, but we've studied it as a distribution. So I'll show you what it is. So if you have a test function, A distribution is something that you apply to a test function. Now, you'll notice here that I've written this as if this is an integral. To make sense of this as a distribution, what you have to do is you have to translate this function on the left by the inverse of h and call that a test function and then use this definition. So the inner integral is a Fourier transform of a compactly supported function, so that's a Schwarz function. And then you integrate that with respect to this, and that will be convergent if the real part of S is bigger than this. And this is exactly the number that you need for the leftmost of those products of n zeta functions to be right on the half line. So formally, if you could interchange the order of integration, then you could write this formula. And so you can think of this as being what this is. You notice that this looks kind of Clusterman-like because you have xi and you have xi inverse. So this is something like a Clusterman integral. The integral is not absolutely convergent, but there is another approach to studying it. That's work in progress, we hope. And there's quite a history of Bessel functions, mostly by Russian mathematicians, but also Cogdell and Piotrowski Shapiro. Cogdell is not Russian. Okay, so then there is a Hankel transform, and it's given by this formula. It's the same as the definition that I just showed you, except that I've put in a power of the determinant. Now, I'll say that a function is a rapid decay if this is bounded for all polynomials. So this is not a synonym for Schwarz class. We proved that the Hankel transform is of rapid decay. This is quite difficult and tricky. The proof of this occupies several pages. So in some sense, you can get decay of the higher derivatives, but you have to take S larger and larger in order to get that. And there's also some degenerate Hankel transforms that I'm going to show you, and another integral transform, which I won't show you any of those, but the paper is online, so you can look at it. Okay, so now, if you have a lattice, say you have a sublattice of the integers, that you can take the sum over lattices that are intermediate between L and zeta to n. There will be a finite number of those, and you can write a sum like this. And this is therefore a finite sum. It's a generating function for this, which looks a little bit like something you might be interested in the second moment of. And so what I want is to describe a Oppenheim summation formula for this divisor function. So I need to describe what the parameter space for lattices is. It's basically invertible matrices modulo the action of GLNZ, and the reason for that is that you can take a matrix and you can associate with it the lattice generated by its first row. So we can think of this as being a parameter space for lattices. Now, if I have a smooth function on GLNR modulo GLNZ, then we would like a summation formula for sums of this type. And this will generalize the Oppenheim result. So we make use of a theorem of Sato, which he showed me when I was in Japan. You can also make the same definition locally, so this, I'm assuming that we have a local field. The values of the Schleicher the spherical vector in the Schleicher model, the values of that are given by this. And so this is the Schleicher model for the degenerate principle series that I talked about earlier. And this is going to explain the appearance of the divisor functions in the summation formula. Now, there's also, if we're able to carry this program out, there's also the Schleicher model of the non-degenerate principal series corresponding to the Eisenstein series that I started with, and the spherical vectors of those were computed by Yannis Sakellaridis. Okay, so now this is the kind of thing that we expect, and in fact, this is the kind of thing that we've proven, except that this is a partial result for all n. This will be a sum of various things corresponding to A's that have lower rank and A's which and different cells in the Bruha decomposition, and the complete formula is not possible to write out because there are many cases that haven't been worked out. But we know these terms will appear, and these terms will appear where this is the automorphic version of the Hankel transform. If you have the function phi, which is now left invariant by GOMZ, you can find a compactly supported function such that phi is the average of that. Then if you apply the Hankel transform to that and you sum that the same way, you get an automorphic version of the Hankel transform. The complexity of the formula grows with n, and to state a precise version, I'm going to assume that n is equal to 2, which is an assumption that I made. I didn't say it, but n was equal to 2 when I talked about the degenerate Bessel functions. So this is the formula. On the left-hand side, what we started with, and on the right-hand side, we have these terms, and these are degenerate versions of these two terms. The last term actually belongs with these two because it comes from the constant term, and this term is actually.
If you started with a cusp.
Yes.
Would you get rid of all these other? Would you then have a clean Voronoi summation? The Voronoi summation should make sense for any form, not just the.
I think that there are other terms in the Bruha decomposition that you would have to work out.
These terms are not gotten rid of through the cusp of alpha.
I think that you might have this one, and some of this stuff would be gone. I think that the okay. So now the last term is the one place in this formula where I can kind of see the appearance of L functions at a half, because this is a GL2 cross GL2 Eisenstein series, and this also comes from the constant term. I guess I haven't explained how this is connected with.
This was GL2. What's the N doing?
Oh, are there N's?
Yeah, the first one.
Oh, well, that's a typo. N equals 2. All right, so I'll just say a very brief word about how we prove this. So we take. We have a test function, and we take the. I want to define an element of an induced representation. And at all the finite places, I'll just take the spherical vector in the induced representation. This is this degenerate principal series. At infinity, I'll do some Fourier transform of phi and get some function, and then I'll define it to be zero off this Bruha cell. And because this Fourier transform is a Schwarz function, you're smooth even at the boundaries of the Bruha cell on which matrices of this type. So this actually is a smooth function. You define an Eisenstein series. You make a Fourier expansion on the middle parabolic, which is what you want. That was the lesson that we got from the beginning. And then you can evaluate this at the identity. At the identity, most of the terms are gone. On the right-hand side, there are a lot of terms, but since this is automorphic, these are equal, and comparing the left and right side gives you the summation formula. You're then done if the real part of S is sufficiently large. But using the decay properties that we've got for the Bessel function, you can see that both sides are analytic in this range, and so it's true in general. So it's speculative that we're going to be able to do something like this and relate it to the moments of the zeta function, but it seems possible that we will be able to. Okay, that's it.
Stan, any questions?
That's not something to clear up. You said before this degenerate principle series, what you have is zeta on the half line decorated by
shifts.
By shifts, which put it into the region of convergence.
Right.
And when you said you didn't know how to do the second moment of that, you meant by the summation formula. Any standard thing will do this second. We really want it by a summation.
Yes. Yes. You notice that the factors that we're multiplying this were products of n zeta functions. I believe that if we can obtain a similar formula for the degenerate principle, non-degenerate principle series, there will be 2n choose n analogs of the main terms, and that they will be prefaced with a product of n squared zeta functions. Yes?
So, Vitetsky and I, for many years, tried to use GLN in this context. We don't have much to show, right? But we did eventually look at GL2 of a number field.
Yeah.
And that has all the analytic difficulties, and so you don't have to worry about fancy Bessel functions. And the difficulties, the analytic difficulties hit you in the face immediately, which have to do with the fact that when you try, and then you're just trying to do the mean square of a Dedekind and zeta function. That's right. About as hard as middle. So have you thought about GL2 of a number field in terms of, then you can't hide behind what you don't know.
No, it's possible that we haven't been working on that.
I just think, and this is the direction we took, and I'll actually outline some things about that tomorrow. But the issue is sometimes that maybe this was a big mistake on our part to concentrate on GL2 of a number field to get up, because their GL2 is well understood, and there are difficulties that are really fundamental associated with the high number.
Yeah.
Actually, GL1 over a number field. So this GLN thing, remarkably, I think what's driving you is the fact that you see the terms in the answer.
Yes. Yeah. And I see that for n equals 1, to get there's an intermediate step, which is the summation formula. So we're trying to generalize this summation formula.
There is a summation formula now in GL3 by Schmidt and
yes, but Miller,
which is very useful.
Yes, but
that's not for this.
It's based on the Whitaker model and not the Shalika model.
Exactly.
Thanks again, Dan.
Okay. Let's see.